And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Tell the truth, Thursday. I got to get a little liquid courage going, brother.
Well, before we get to that, I'd like to always open with something light if we can. I don't know if you've seen this, Shane, but I think you're not the only one drinking here because, you know, this guy, I don't know his first name, but the Last Chance U coach, Coach Brown, you know, he was the one for the Indianapolis, whatever it's called, community college on the latest season. He was always drinking, always cussing everything. I saw
Cadillac.
He's got 10 Cadillacs he likes to brag about. They all look like a piece of shit to me, but he's got 10 of them. But anyway, on Wednesday morning, he tweeted out, "To our fans and followers, I want to apologize for my actions and that I won't be the coach versus Coffeyville due to being suspended. So like I told my team, I screwed up and let y'all down. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. We love you and please continue to support us." So my thought there, Shane, is Last Chance season season four is going to be a hell of a season. I don't know anything other than that. I know the damn coach got suspended mid-season.
Oh, man. You know, it takes one arrest to make a show interesting, you know? Do we have no details on this? I want to say DUI. Where are we at?
Well, I also heard that he was escorted off the field for the last show. So, I mean, I wonder at this point if this guy is just playing up for the cameras, because it certainly seemed that way during the season three, you know. His bullshit about how he's such a great coach, but he's not even studying film. He's out buying Cadillacs, but I don't know what the hell to make of this guy.
He's a savant, man. He doesn't need to study. Oh, if you haven't watched that show, at least watch one or two episodes to know what we're talking about. Or don't. I mean, honestly, there was some times I was like, what the hell am I watching? Probably like people halfway through Tell the Truth Thursday, they're like, what the hell are we listening to?
you can pretty much catch whatever the hell this guy is just by watching the trailer for the latest season. Yeah. So I would recommend that.
Absolutely.
All right, Shane, you've teased it about three times already. I can tell you're fired up for this Tell the Truth Thursday. So after our little intro here, let's jump into it.
Tennessee, I got a lot of respect for their coach, a guy I've known for a long time in this profession. You know, his son's a quarterback. He's a really good football player. They beat three Power 5 schools in the last 6 or 7 years, and they got really good athletes.
You got to give East Tennessee State credit. They gave a bunch of different looks. They stemmed around. They played hard. I think at the end of the first quarter, we had eight rush attempts for minus 1 yard. Those guys got after us really well.
Chattanooga is a very well-coached team. You know, Russ has done a really good job there. They're 8-2, or they're one of the top teams in, you know, their division. They have 14 starters returning from last year's team. They basically do a really good job on offense with the quarterback run type stuff and the play action.
All right, Shane. I can't believe it. For the listeners out there, this is the first time Shane's been prepared for this damn thing all season. But if you've been missing out on all what we've been doing, what this is, Tell the Truth Thursday. You know, we love our SEC coaches to add our clips and whatnot, but at the same time, we kind of get a lot of same bullshit from these guys, a lot of coach speak, and we wish they would just have a forum where they would just come out and say how they really feel, and that's what we're doing here. So Shane handles the SEC East coaches. I handle the SEC West. And This is just our thoughts on what the hell these guys would say if they were saying it like they really feel. So let's start with you, Shane, or should I say Dan Mullen, as your team heads into a bye week here.
Well, Mike, the thing is, we get no respect. I mean, good God, we're sitting here at 6-1. We should be undefeated. I mean, we beat the LSU Tigers, and the LSU Tigers beat Georgia. Zippity-doo-dah-day, my friend. I had a little bit of a minor breakdown last week against Vanderbilt I'd like to apologize for, but not really, because I'm glad we kind of had that little fight on the sideline. We kind of needed a spark, and that re-energized this team, if you ask me, and if that didn't happen, we may not have beat the University of Vanderbilt. Did I mention that we were sponsored by Jordan, Mike? That's the Michael Jordan. I'm wearing them now. Frank still doesn't dance with me, and I like him, though. Really look forward to getting a QB that fits my system, though, if I'm being completely honest. Then we can really make some stats fly. I think we really have a good shot to beat Georgia. A lot of people aren't talking about us and potential playoff, but you know what? If we win this thing out, how can we not be? I mean, that's what I'm telling my players. We're not getting any respect. Everybody's going against us. Ain't nobody talking about us. But if we come out, could you imagine? If I take these boys to an SEC championship, that would be fantastical, Mike. Oh, and one last thing before I leave. Coach Mason, you can go to hell. All right, King Saban, undefeated, really untested. How you feel about your team going into this week, third Saturday in October?
Well, Shane, thanks for having me. How are you doing? I don't give a shit. Don't even answer. I'm the most miserable coach that ever existed that had a 7-0 record, and I'm about to crush another one of my assistants. Yeah, that's right. I keep track record. I'm 14-0 against all my former assistants. And, you know, we got people out here telling me I should sit Tua. Well, the hell with that. Tua's playing all four quarters. I don't care if he's got one bum knee or not. That's just what we do around here. I'm just going to keep Tua in the game just to shut everybody up. That's right. My team's number one. Write something negative if you can find it. We can't stop the run. That's because we don't want to run. We're not scoring 60 points a game. We're not covering the spread. Students aren't coming to the game. Well, la-dee-freaking-do. I'm the most miserable man in the world. My team's kicking ass. We're going to kick Tennessee's ass. I'm saying this Tennessee game is important. It's not important for shit. We got us some cigars to smoke. We're going to smoke them all over the field. We're going to smoke them in Neyland Stadium locker room. That's all I got, Shane. I couldn't be more miserable to have a 7-0 record, but here I am. I'm about to be 8-0, and I'm just going to get even more pissed off.
Oh, man, you nailed that one.
All right, Shane, or should I say Kirby Smart, your team lost by 20 points there at LSU. It was a tough one. You're heading into this bye week. What's on your mind here?
Well, Mike, I'm still kind of pissed that Chaney convinced me to let Hot Rod run that damn fake kick. I ain't going to lie. Getting a little aggravated. People asking me why Fields ain't starting. Well, I mean, what if I told you he ain't good yet? This ain't spring ball. I'm rolling Fromm out there because he's my best option. If he was my best option, you think he'd still be in there? Hell, he took us to a natty last year. Let me be the coach. Speaking of coaching, last week was on me. I went away from the running game. My boys were averaging 7 yards a pop, and I thought throwing would get us back in the game. Good Lord, we needed this by. Be nice to get some healthy players back for that Florida game. Florida had trouble with Benny Snell. What do you think was going to happen to him when we come in with that three-headed monster? Huh? I'll tell you what happened. A lot of yards. Maybe I should give Holyfield a few more carries now that I'm thinking about it. Oh, and by the way, can you tell that raging Cajun Coach O to go to hell? All right, Coach Morris. You lost another one. And starting to worry about your fourth quarters because they ain't adding up. Let me ask you. How you feel about your team going in this week?
Well, Shane, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling bright. Feel the energy. We got recruiting going well. We went to Little Rock. We brought us back the number one tight end in the nation. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about recruiting, so let's forget about that. But he was a number one recruit in the nation. Forget his brother played here. Forget his father played here. Forget his brothers on the team. I'm not. Oh, his mother went on the team too. Oh, shit, I'm not supposed to talk about that. But recruiting's going well. Forget I've lost six in a row. I'm staying positive. It's a little bit hard these days. We've lost six in a row. Can't beat anyone in the Division I level. We got Tulsa coming here. We're favored by a field goal. Oh, my God. But the feeling's good. Feeling great. We just played in a concrete field stadium with AstroField turf, and half my team got crippled. They're calling this a home game. What the hell? I didn't know that when I signed up. But, hey, I got a smile on my face. Recruiting's going well. My team can't handle a damn fourth quarter. But guess what? We're probably not going to be in any games here in the fourth quarter, so it's all looking good, and we're not going to blow another one. Woo, pig, suey, fool, tip, boogie, Shane, I'm out of here.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love it. I love it.
All right, Shane, or should I say Mark Stoops, coming off a bye, hosting Vanderbilt, big favorite this week. What are your thoughts on playing the Commodores?
Big week. Ready to get this Cinderella story fired back up, brother. I mean, hell, we dropped one. We all watched it. A lot of people ain't talking about us anymore. But the fact of the matter is, we still control our destiny. It starts with Vandy. I'm going to try to get Benny 4 touchdowns in this one. I mean, honestly, the world's a better place when Benny is in the news. Am I right? I can't complain, though. A couple students recognized me on campus yesterday. That was a pretty big deal. It's almost November. We're still talking football here in Lexington, so that's sweet. Need to crush those Commodores, though, because we need to re-energize this fan base. We need to limit Terry to about 3 passes per quarter to win these things. So that means a lot of Benny Snell. Okay? Now, on a side note, I saw the boys' basketball teams ranked number 1 in the SEC. Shocker. But this is my campus now. Coach Calipari, he can go straight to hell. Okay, hot seat Gus Malzahn. How do you feel about your team going into this week?
Well, Shane, let me tell you. Jarrett Steedham's playing like shit. Ever since that son of a bitch got engaged, he don't know the difference between offense and defense. He's throwing more interceptions than touchdowns. What in the hell's going on? Chip Lindsey, he can't call a game to save his damn life. Hell no, I ain't taking over play calling for him. My offensive line is sucks. Quarterback sucks. We got one receiver. All he is a damn track star. I ain't taking control of this shit. I just signed a $50 million deal. I ain't blowing it on these losers. Kevin Steele's defense is falling apart. We've all seen that happen before, I'll tell you what. And what's up with this Jordan Rogers pointing out that every time I got my H-back Cox out there, we're running the ball 80% of the time. When he's not on the field, we're throwing it 94% of the time. I thought these SEC Network bastards were supposed to help us, not call us out for our shitty coaching. You seen these videos going out, Jeremy Pruitt calling out my defense calling out my offense right before we snap it. What in the hell is that all about? Jeremy Pruitt is supposed to be a good old boy from Alabama. I don't know what the hell's going on here, Shane, but I'll tell you what. I got this $50 million under my ass. I know I'm feeling pretty good. They want to fire my ass, I'll take my $50 million and I'll go coach high school where I belong. That's all I got, Shane. War damn Eagle. All right, Shane. Or should I say Barry Odom?
Damn right.
Your team's lost 3 in a row. Hosting Memphis, your former school there. You used to be the defensive coordinator. How are you feeling about your team trying to get back on the winning track here in the non-conference?
Well, Mike, I got to admit, I'm kind of glad we got that ass kicking out of the way. That Alabama team's a tough ball club. But you got to admit, we had them sweat there for about a quarter. So that was interesting. But when I was out this morning picking up Drew Locke's groceries, I had a thought. Did I make the best offensive coordinator hire with Dooley? I mean, say what you want. He is drawing up some doozies. This kind of feels like my signature season, and I don't know. I'd love to change a few things, especially in that South Carolina game. Maybe send Cousin Shane a text not to waste his money on me this week. In all seriousness, though, Bama only beat us by 29, and we have some serious unsung heroes on this team. I guarantee you one thing, Mike. No team that remains on this schedule can look at us as a guaranteed win. We still have an upset or two to deliver. I'm the lowest paid. Here's a fun fact, Mike. Did you know that I'm the lowest paid coach in the SEC? Hell, I'm one of the lowest paid coaches of all the Power 5 conferences. So for that, I close with these final remarks. Athletic Director Jim Sterk, you can go to hell.
Barry Odom gets paid?
Not much, man. Not much at all. But you know who does get paid? Coach O. And Coach O had a huge game last week against the number 2 Georgia Bulldogs. So, Coach O, how you feel about your team going in this week?
Oh, I'm feeling good, Shane. We're going forward on fourth down every time, and we're getting it. We're coming, because we're coming. We done rolled up on all over Kirby Smart. I got my Hummer drove all over his ass. My Tigers came out ready to play. From what I understand, old Kirby's Nick's saving disciple. Well, old Nick better, old Saint Nick, he better get ready, because them Tigers is coming for his ass. Mississippi State, they rolled our ass last year. They whipped us good. I was there, 37-7. Them Tigers, they're coming for old Joe Moorhead. A man, I think he's about 40 years old. He looks about 80. We're going to put his ass in a coffin on Saturday. He's never been to Death Valley. He said he's looking forward to it. Them Tigers are going to make him regret saying that. Wait, just you wait and see, Shane. We lost by 30. We better win by 30 this year, because after this game, oh, baby, we got them Alabama Crimson Tide coming in here, and we're going to get it done, Shane, because all these haters, I'm proving them all wrong. I hope to see them Gators in Atlanta, because if we see them again, I'll be eating some gumbo and Gator stew. That's all I got, Shane. Go Tigers.
Your Coach O sounds different every week. I love it.
This week, I actually been studying his tape.
Yeah, have you?
I thought it was a little bit better. It's like you got to not exaggerate it as much.
Oh, so you're going a little too Cajun, you think?
Oh, yeah. I was the time before, for sure.
And I love how all my coaches sound exactly the same. In my head, they sound different.
All right, Shane, or should I say Will Muschamp. Lost a tough one. Heading into the bye. Where's your team go from here with the season slipping out from under your fingers there?
Yeah, well, Mike, 2-3 in the SEC is unacceptable here at the University of South Carolina. I mean, hell, the heat keeps getting turned up every week. I feel like I'm back in Gainesville again. I can't believe we dropped another one. But then again, maybe I shouldn't use that word drop, because you may be thinking I'm talking about my wide receivers. And boys couldn't catch a shit with a diaper. Speaking of babies, everybody on my baby boy Bentley booing him. That's a lot of bees, Mike. But hell, he made the throws. You don't expect him to catch them, do you? Maybe I should have played guard. Then, if we lost by 20, you wouldn't second-guess my coaching abilities. We got a bye coming up, so that's good, thank God. And if I can get this offense to do something, just something, maybe people will stop booing. Maybe if we come out firing all cylinders and we beat Tennessee and Ole Miss coming out of this bye week, then they won't be talking about any hot seat talk, Mike, because that's what they're doing. Now, you may not know this guy, so I'm going to explain it a little bit, because this guy's going to hell. This guy is the athletic director that fired me at the University of Florida, and his name's Jeremy Foley. So, Jeremy Foley, you can go to hell. Okay, Coach Luke. Boy, you had a close one. You came out with the victory, though, and that's what matters. You're looking pretty good down there in the West. How you feel about your team?
Well, you know, Shane, a lot of people counting us out all year. We're 5-2. I know you didn't have us at 5-2. You had my ass fired last week. Well, we're winning the SEC. Got off the snide there. We're sitting up against his Auburn team. I don't know if you saw it, Shane, but my boy Jordan Tuaamo looked like a baby Tua out there. That's why I call him Tuaamo now. He's looking good. Rolled all over them Arkansas Razorbacks. 97-yard drive to win it. I ain't seen no Tua do that. He ain't done shit in the fourth quarter last time I checked. And my land sharks, they stopped shitting all over themselves at the opportune time. We knocked out Ty Story. I couldn't have been more proud. My land sharks, they may not be able to stop anybody, but they'll hurt their ass. That's what we're training them to do. If we can't stop them, we're going to try to cripple them. I've been trying to build up Auburn all week. You know why I'm doing that, Shane? Because we lose to these sons of bitches who can't win a damn game. My ass will be right back on the grass. So I got to build this team up. They're top 10 team. Hell, they've been top 10 all season till they can't, you know, win a damn SEC game. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We got Auburn coming to town. They're the favorite. That's some bullshit right there. Like I said, we're 5-2. They're 4-3. They can't win a damn SEC game. They ain't got land shot defense. They ain't got Jordan Tuaamo. They ain't got him. They got Jarrett Stidham, who can't throw for shit. Shane, I'll tell you what. We're gonna win this game. We're going to set up a hell of a season. I'm already talking about that Egg Bowl. One week at a time, bullshit. We're looking for that Egg Bowl. We're going to ram it right down Joe Moorhead's throat. They stole another recruit from us this week. I can't take that. JUCO safety. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about recruiting. We do have a top 15 class, Shane, in case you didn't know. We got about 29 guys committed. We can only sign 25. I don't know how that works. It's just crazy old SEC Mississippi math right there for you. That's all I got, Shane. Hotty, tighty, gosh, almighty, who the hell are we? All right, Shane, or should I say Jeremy Pruitt, facing your old coach there, your old program, the program you played for. Hell, the program you grew up loving, I'm sure. So, but your team's coming off a big win there against Auburn, hosting the number one team in the nation. What do you got to say heading into this epic game here against Alabama?
Well, first off, Mike, thanks for having me on. I'd like to thank God for that W. Now these non-believers can get off my ass. All right? Jarrett Garitano did what I asked of him. The defense did what I asked of them. Hell, even the O-line did what I asked of them. All right? And we beat Auburn. Now, this team won its first SEC game in almost 700 days, all right? A culture that is going to change real quick. We don't celebrate winning this because we should expect these types of wins, these types of games, all right? I ain't going to lie. As a lifelong Bama fan, it sure was nice to whoop up on some War Eagles or Tigers, whatever they call themselves. You see, hey, Mike, let me ask you, did you see where they striped the stadium for us? Yeah, me either. The fans done gave up on them. Got a tough one this week, though, Mike. If you think Saban's going to take it easy on me, you got another thing coming, brother. He wants to beat my ass because I left him. Deep down inside, you know, Papa Sabe, you know, he holds them grudges deep, all right? But we're going to try. We're going to try to play physical. We're going to try to drain the clock on every single drive. And I'm going to go all out on Tua if he's back here. I'll tell you that right now. At any rate, I'm proud of our progress and our players, and I'm looking forward to seeing the man that left so many holes in this team come Saturday. So for that reason, I'm telling Coach Lyle Jones he can go to hell. All right, Coach Moorhead down there in Mississippi State. Coming off a bye week and a big win the week prior to with Auburn. I think they were top five at the time. How you feel about your team this week?
Well, sir, now that we've had 2 weeks to prep, we tried to train Nick Fitzgerald to complete the forward pass. We also tried to train our receivers to catch those damn balls. Seems like those things only happen once or twice a game. They just don't happen at the same time, son of a bitch. I say I'm looking forward to playing in Death Valley. It ain't because I like them LSU fans. I don't like them Tigers. It's because I'm such a corn dog lover. Look at me. You can tell I've had quite a few corn dogs in my day, and I'll tell you what.
we win here in LSU, I'm going to eat a corn dog on the 50-yard line and try to figure out what in the hell that son of a bitch Coach Orgeron's saying, because I can't understand a damn word he's saying. Can you? I'm from the North. We don't have people who talk like that. He sounds like a damn buffoon. But I'll tell you what, Shane, if I win this game, Mississippi State, it's time to put them on the map. Beat LSU 2 years in a row. Dan Mullen never did that. Who's Dan Mullen, you say? Oh, yeah, I don't even know who that is, but people keep bringing his name up. If we win this game, Shane, it's time to forget that son of a bitch. It's time to nuke firejomo.com if I win this one, because we're right back in the SEC race. I know it's tough. It'll be tough, Shane, but we win this one, we're right back in it. We got Alabama coming up. I think we're going to go on a roll. Nick Fitzgerald, he may not be able to complete a damn pass, but that son of a bitch can run. He's about a yard away from 3,000 career rushing yards. He ran all over this LSU defense last week. Ran all over Auburn. That's because I schemed it up. I've been scheming for 2 weeks, and I'm going to scheme me up a win. That's all I got, Shane. Hail State. All right, Shane. Or should I say Derek Mason? What do you got this week as your team's facing a hungry Kentucky team coming off a bye?
Well, I'm glad you had me on. We definitely let another one slip away. In the Vandy, you don't get too many shots, and we can't have that. I'm going to keep this short and brief because, honestly, no one cares about Vanderbilt. Not the locals, not the listeners, not the band. Hell, not even my wife. At least Nashville's nice. I mean, it really is this time of year. I will say this about my ball club. We have proven that we can play in this league. So don't you pencil us off, because as soon as you do, I'll finish one of these games, and then you'll look like the dummy. Oh, and by the way, Kentucky, we're coming for you. Oh, one last thing. Yappin' Dan, you could kiss my damn ass. Go to hell.
Okay, last one, thank God. This is Fast Talking Jimbo, Coach, and tell me about your team this week.
Well, sir, the Maggies is 5-2. And guess what, Shane? We just went on the road, beat good South Carolina team, 26-23. I want to read you some stats here. Total offense, 458 yards, passing yards, 353, rushing yards, 108, penalties, 12 for 117. Can't have that. First downs, 25 first downs. We were only 3 for 13 on third down. We didn't have a fourth down conversion. Kellen Mond, they said he's got to beat us with his arm. He's got 353 yards and a touchdown. Hail, Shane. We did that. Jake Bentley, we intercepted him. Canceled that game. We shut him out in the first half. Oh, my God. Mike Elko's defense is killing it. We only have 76 yards rushing allowed. Oh, my gosh, Shane. We're going into the bye week. I'm the $75 million man. That's all I got, Shane. I got time. This is my off week. I got to slow down here, so I got to go, Shane. Giga Maggie.
Oh, hell, Mike. I think the segment gets worse every week, and I love it.
All right, Shane, enough of all that nonsense. Let's go around the league.
Now let's go around the league. Around
the league. We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our players, I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over. And, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, starting off in old Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide!
Nick Saban met with the media on Wednesday. And, you know, typical coach speak, bullshit from old Saban here. But, you know, one thing that really, I thought, really hit home with it, what his comments here. These players, you know, I think every year it may get harder. Tennessee is improving, but I think it gets harder and harder for Saban to sell to these guys that this is a meaningful game, that this is a rivalry game. If Alabama wins this week, They extend the streak to 12, would be the longest damn streak in the series. So here's Nick Saban on why this Tennessee game is so damn important for these Alabama players.
You know, we go there and play our very best game, and I think in games like this, these types of rivalry games, I don't think that, you know, records, you know, mean that much. Be a lot of emotion in the game. And, you know, our players got to understand that, you know, years from now and years down the road, when you say you played at Alabama, they're going to say, what was your record against Tennessee? What was your record against Auburn? And how many championships you win? So I guarantee you those are three questions that you're going to get asked. So this is the game we got this week. It's a big game. And
all right, Shane, so to hell with the entire SEC schedule outside of Auburn and Tennessee, according to Nick Saban. Are you buying these comments?
I mean, kind of. I mean, it's hard to do it for the players that are in that locker room because they haven't experienced a balanced series, if you will. But, you know, Saban hangs out with a lot of boosters, a lot of old people that know just how deep this rivalry goes. And, yeah, and he is right because, you know, back in the day when you took that Alabama job, you were expected to win two games, and that was the Tennessee game and the Auburn game. So he just – I think he hit the nail on the head here, but – I don't know. That's a tough pitch for these players because they've been steamrolling Tennessee for going on 11 years or 12 years now.
Yeah, I'm not. I see what you're saying, and I'm going to agree with it because, you know, I think a lot of these guys. Now, of course, Nick Saban's a little bit different down there. It seems like he's really got the pulse on his team. Obviously, he's had it for about a decade, but You can tell young people, you know, you can give them the best advice in the world, but there's no guarantee they're going to take it. And I think this is some advice that definitely he's trying to, you know, pass down to them that 20 years, 30 years down the road, a lot of people are going to remember, obviously, like you said, his record against these rivals. But just right now, this is not a rivalry. You know, yeah. Alabama and LSU, that's a rivalry. Obviously, Auburn, and I would even say Clemson now is a big rival of Alabama. But I don't think it's going to seep into these players necessarily. I know that they get to smoke their damn cigar after the game or what have you, but and I'm sure they look forward to it. But I actually think this favors Tennessee in this regard that I would imagine that the Tennessee players, this means more to them than it does Alabama this week.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, without a doubt. This is David and Goliath right here. And so just the fact that they win, maybe – not so much the rivalry, just the fact that they're beating a number one team in the nation. That's the way they're looking at it. I think the rivalry, I don't know. It's been so long since Tennessee has been relevant and Alabama's been on top. It's tough to look at this game like I did back in the 90s, you know?
All right, Shane, so flipping on the other side before you start crying, Jeremy Pruitt also met with the media on Wednesday. And, you know, we've kind of poked fun at old Pruitt because in a lot of these pressers, he doesn't really say anything worth noting. But I thought when it came to Alabama, he did have some interesting stuff. Two things in particular, and they're back-to-back here. But he was asked, you know, it just seems like a pretty common thing to ask. But he was asked if he reached out to Nick Saban to ask for advice. And he basically said no, and he explains why. And then just kind of, you know, being a member of that Alabama staff that started, that built this, what it is now, and that experience and how that could help Tennessee now.
You know, it's most of the time when you do get an opportunity like I have, you do call the folks that you've been associated with and ask for advice. And, you know, kind of the unique circumstance of being at Tennessee and Coach Saban being at Alabama, you know, I don't think it's fair to him for me to call and ask him questions. Not that he wouldn't help me. I really believe he would. But I just, you know, I mean, we're competing against each other, you know, every single day in recruiting. It's one of the biggest rivalries out there. You know, I don't feel like that I should put him in that situation, if that makes sense. I mean, if he called me and asked me, you know, what could he do to help his program? I'd second guess before I'd try to give him some help. I can assure you that. So I'm not going to do that to him. You know, when I worked for Coach Saban, he really done me a tremendous favor by first of all, hiring me. You know, I had an opportunity to work in the weight room. I worked with academics. I worked in player development. In those 3 years, I didn't coach any position, but every day that they had defensive meetings, I actually sat in the defensive meetings, so I got to hear and listen and how everything was going to be orchestrated for that day, that week, the off season, summer, the whole deal. You know, and then we had individual meetings. 1 year I sat in the inside linebacker room. The next year I sat in the defensive back room. You know, and then I'd mix around from the outside linebackers to defensive line, so I could soak up and learn as much as I possibly could about the defense, you know, then being the secondary coach there and then eventually being the defensive coordinator. You know, so I've had an opportunity to really work really in probably ever capacity, you know, from academics to strength and conditioning, all the way to coaching. So I had an opportunity to learn a lot. So I'm thankful for that opportunity.
All right, Shane, what did you learn here from your coach, Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, I mean, what did they think? I mean, that's kind of – I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of a stupid question. Are you calling Nick Saban for advice? I get that he was a mentor, but he is an enemy right now. I mean, he went to Tennessee. We just talked about how important this rivalry is, and you're expecting to get good advice from the coach. Nah, it ain't happening. So now on the other side of the ball, you know, I think Pruitt got to where he's at because of Nick. I mean, he listened and he worked his way up and he got, you know, through the coaching ranks following Saban's you know, his advice. So in a roundabout way, he got his advice just by doing that.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with your first part there, though, Shane, because I know I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that I've heard people like Kirby Smart, Jim McElwain, and Will Muschamp. I believe they do call Saban, and they do ask for advice. Now, obviously, I'm sure it has nothing to do with, you know, beating Alabama or anything, you know, close to that, but I don't really know what they would be asking about, but I'm pretty sure those guys have all gone on record just trying to get his advice, and I think Saban obviously wants his guys to do well in some regard, not to beat him, obviously, but mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty candid of Pruitt to say this, and, you know, when you spend enough years with him, I don't really know what other advice he can be given, because outside of being a head coach, he's, you know, as he said here, he was off the field analyst. He was in the training room. He was with this position group, that position group, mm-hmm. you know, their lead recruiter, their defensive coordinator, the play caller. I mean, he's had just about every role there outside of offensive and, you know, managing, I guess. I think he even managed game plans and the offseason plan a little bit with Saban there, or at least he witnessed all that. So
yeah,
not really sure what he necessarily would need to know outside of being a head coach. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And I think everyone always, when Pruitt got hired, they saw the obvious signs, you know, him being there at Alabama. Tennessee is a different animal, though, and different challenges. But that experience is I mean, that's got to help him. Not to say it's guaranteed to work at Tennessee, but it's kind of interesting how that Tennessee coaching search worked out. And I think at this point, you could argue they really couldn't have got a more perfect hire for what they really need. And that's not saying they're going to be competitive immediately, but they need to build this thing up.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, we just talked about it, like 10 years. How many years in a row has it been that Alabama's been ranked once or ranked first at least once in the season?
11 years in a row.
I mean, so who better to have coach your team than somebody that was there for a big part of it and saw how the sausage was made. So if he could take two-thirds of the material that he learned down there and bring it to another university, then how can that not be a great tool? So, yeah, no, I don't know the dynamics of their relationship. Pruitt doesn't seem like one of those guys that's going to call Saban. But then again, maybe he is. I don't know.
Now, how about this, Shane? On the, you know, this is kind of related to this big game here, but Philip Fulmer was interviewed by a local Knoxville news station here, and he admitted he almost played for Alabama. I was not aware of this. He, you know, Bear Bryant recruited him, and he decided not to go, obviously, play Alabama. He played at State at Tennessee. Let's play these comments, and then we'll jump into it.
Ago, but Coach Bryant was the guy, you know, that in the country at that time, Alabama. They just won the national championship in 66, and I think 61 and 63, something like that.
Yeah,
but they, you know,
really
my
successful.
My time there as a high school kid, that was, and we were right on the border of Alabama where I grew up, and there was a lot of Alabama people, you know, as there are in Huntsville, Tennessee people. So, sure. So I considered Alabama strongly, and UT had a great year in 67. They were number two in the country, and that turned, and Alabama had a average year or even down year.
Okay.
Can't remember exactly. So that kind of flipped things a little bit. And then Tennessee convinced me that Coach Bryant was going to retire, you know, because he was getting older. And I look back now at my age, I said, geez, you know, he was young, you know, really. And he obviously didn't retire, but I took that into consideration. I didn't want to play, go there in the coach change, you know. So came to Tennessee, and fast forward 10 years later, I'm on the field in pregame warm-up, getting ready to play Alabama, and Coach Bryant walked by. I didn't even see him coming. He walked by my drill, my offensive line drill, and says, boy, I hadn't retired yet. I'm not even sure he knew my name as a prospect, but he remembered that.
What was your reaction, you
know,
to that?
I stunned, you know, so, hey, coach, you know, something like that. So, yeah, it was, I mean, this conference is amazing. It's the history and tradition of all the coaches of the Dooleys and Dyes and Spurriers and, you know, and all the, it's amazing to be a part of it. And if you don't appreciate the history, I don't know how you can ever be successful, you know, on the other end of it, you know.
All right, Shane, is this something that you knew? Because this was news to me, and I know you're the damn history professor of this show now, so I figured you'd appreciate it.
Dude, I had no clue. And that was an awesome story. I like how he said, you know, everybody, they were doing negative recruiting back in the 60s, man. Paul's about to retire, so I think that's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah, and it just, like he noted there, you know, we get so caught up in, you know, what's happening now, but I think that is one thing, and it's not just the SEC, so I'm not trying to say that, but the SEC has such a strong history and tradition. There are programs like, I would say, like Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State, Notre Dame, obviously, and USC, but I don't know if there's a conference that has it quite like this, so I think this is just another thing that kind of makes the SEC what it is, and why so many people care about it, and not from age, you know, 5 to 90, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has a story, and everyone can find something interesting in it, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. I love it.
All right, Shane, so let's jump down to Oxford, where Matt Luke met with the media on Wednesday, and I really wanted to get your thoughts on this because, you know, this was basically the only interesting takeaway I got from this, but Matt Luke is trying to build up Auburn despite all their flaws here. So we're going to play this quick clip and then we'll jump into it.
They are really, really good. They're one of the best teams in the country. They've had an opportunity to win every game they've played. They have an elite defense. They've had guys, you know, open and have just missed them for whatever reason, but they're a very, very good football team and capable of beating anybody in the country.
All right, Shane, so are you buying this BS from Luke here? Is this more coach speak, or what? Or I think it's almost like he's setting it up if they lose. He's losing to a good team here.
Yeah, it kind of does, man. I don't know, man. You just kind of pump them up, and then if you beat them, you beat a tougher team. But if you lose to them, well, what do you expect? I told you it was a tough team. So, well played, Coach Luke. I like it.
All right, Shane, final note here. We got some Arkansas talk. Chad Morris met with the media there on Wednesday evening. Now, after Arkansas's latest practice, he didn't have anything too great to say, so we're not going to include any clips from him, but he did note that Ty Story continues to practice, continues to look like he's going to play. He mentioned he's been in, you know, rehab all week, so that's looking good to go. That's great news for the Razorbacks, but sticking with Arkansas and sticking with quarterback play, old Kelly Bryant, the Clemson transfer, who's obviously looking into Arkansas, he was on Sports Talk with Bo Mattingly, the big Arkansas radio station there on Wednesday. So we're going to just play this quick clip on just on what he's looking for from his next potential team.
What's he looking for, Mark?
Playing time.
How much does record play a factor in chances to win a championship next year for you?
I don't. You know, anything can change in here. So, of course, you know, you have, you know, the record as, you know, a team may have, you know, this year. But, like I said, anything can change, you know, in a year's span.
All right, Shane. So, old Kelly Bryant, he does not give a shit what a team does this year, which has got to help Arkansas here.
Absolutely, man. Well, he's going to get plenty of playing time down there, brother.
I just think it's funny how, so Arkansas, you know, they're hoping and praying this Ty Story, who I want to give him credit. He's made this offense look good, but he's terrible. He cannot throw the damn ball. And then you got they're like at the same time, they're recruiting this guy for Clemson. They're hoping and praying he comes. I think Ty Story's got a year or two yet left to play. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they're going to let them compete if they do both end up on the same team here. But it's got to be a weird situation for Ty Story getting beat all to hell. And I think we talked about this on one of the previous podcasts. But so he got knocked in the head with a straight target, one of the most vicious targeting I've ever seen in the last game.
Yeah.
And what does Arkansas dial up the next play? Hell, let's throw a reverse pass to the quarterback. And that was literally the next play, and he got destroyed. You know, he was on the hard-ass concrete turf for about 15 minutes. They're just beating the hell out of this guy. I'm starting to feel bad for Ty Story.
Yeah, he's gonna, if they keep that up, he's going to start calling audibles at the line, man. How awkward is this recruiting process, you know, because they're hitting hard trying to get Bryant down there. And like you said, you know, Ty's still got a couple of years. He's trying to do everything he can for the University of Arkansas. And it's like, yeah, we got that. But we'd really love to have this Clemson guy, you know?
And I think the key to it is, you know, obviously I noted Ty's story, not a great passer, but Chad Morris's system, I think it's really suited for a quarterback that can run the ball. And know Kelly Bryant can do that. That's his specialty. So, I mean, it could potentially open this offense to a whole nother dimension. I think that's why they're really pushing. They got, we've talked about this before as well, the freshman, KJ Jefferson, same deal. He can run the ball, but you really don't want to give it to a true freshman. They got Connor Nolan, the freshman. He can run too, but just haven't seen enough of him. So, you know, you'd rather have more options than not enough, I'd say, if you're Arkansas, because right now they don't have enough.
And if you can't get this guy, I mean, does Ty even start next year? Because like you said, Morse needs a mobile quarterback to make his offense, like you said, run more efficient. So I wouldn't even be surprised, regardless of Bryant's situation, if Ty's even the starter next year.
And one final thing on these transfers, Shane, I bet you're not aware of this, but so if you're a graduate transfer, or hell, if you're just a transfer, I believe, the NCAA, they have a website you can go on, and it looks like the old, you know, NCAA video game or Madden, where you can like search for free agents and whatnot.
Yeah.
They literally have a website now where you can see who's put their name out there and available for transfer. And that's what it's for. It's for programs and coaches around the nation. You know, hell, you need a running back. Let's see if there's any transfers out there. It's one of the most bizarre things. It's called
like a waiver wire.
It's called the NCAA Transfer Portal. And I don't know if it's open to the public. I'm not 100% sure. But I have seen photos of it, and it looks just like the damn video game free agency board. So I think that's kind of interesting.
I want to say it's not open to the public because – could you imagine, like, South Carolina last week, they had to put Bentley on there or something, you know? Just like, the hell with this, you know? We want Stidham out of here. Let's put him on the free agency waiver wire.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it, unless you got anything before we hop off here.
Well, Mike, I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to us, and appreciate everybody that got on iTunes and gave us a rate or a review. Also, don't forget our Reddit page. You can catch it at That SEC Podcast. Again, you just go to Reddit and search That SEC Podcast and find us there. But that's all I got, Mike. What about you?
That's all I got, Shane. Thanks as always for joining me, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, man. Go Vols.
What are you doing, Mike?
I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to say.
Hey, we can pause it, man.
No, I
did
think...
Did that sound all right? Oh, it just sounds stupid.
No, I liked it.
Okay, good. You're just making shit up now.
I mean, you can do this one for a third time if you want, Shane, if you're not happy with it.
No, we're rolling with it.